Part 1. Transforming Innovation. The Power of Ideas. IDEAS. 1. Intelligence. More human, less artificial. Can machines think? That's how Alan Turing began his celebrated paper entitled Computing Machinery and Intelligence, published in 1950. Ever since, there has been much argument about what came to be known as the Turing test, turning on the question of whether a computer could fool us into believing it was human. Though Turing himself never claimed that machines could actually think, that hasn't stopped fantasists and casual observers from imagining, usually with horror, machines endowed with human consciousness. That is not us. The radically human turn in AI that we are seeing is not about recreating consciousness. It's about solving problems by leveraging the most powerful cognitive characteristics of humans and supplementing them with the most powerful abilities of computers. It promises not domination by machines, but a more comprehensive, more effective, more affordable, and more innovative means of solving pressing commercial and social challenges. It is fully underway at the furthest frontiers of research and in enterprises of all kinds, with profound implications for us all. And a little child shall lead them. No machine powered by AI can yet match the ease and efficiency with which even the youngest humans learn, comprehend, and contextualize. Accidentally drop an object, and a one-year-old child who sees you reaching for it will retrieve it for you. Throw it down on purpose, and the child will ignore it. In other words, even very small children understand that other people have intentions, an extraordinary cognitive ability that seems to come almost pre-wired in the human brain. That's not all. Beginning at a very young age, they develop an intuitive sense of physics. They begin expecting objects to move along smooth paths, remain in existence, fall when unsupported, and not act at a distance. Before they've acquired language, they distinguish animate agents from inanimate objects. As they learn language, they exhibit their remarkable ability to generalize from very few examples, needing to experience only an instance or two of a new word to grasp its meaning. They also learn to walk on their own through trial and error. Yet AI can do many things that people, despite being endowed with natural intelligence, find impossible or difficult to do well. Recognize patterns in vast amounts of data, defeat the greatest champions at chess, Go and Jeopardy, run complex manufacturing processes, efficiently aid callers to customer service centers, analyze weather, soil conditions, and satellite imagery to help farmers maximize crop yields, scan millions of internet images in the fight against child exploitation, detect financial fraud, predict consumer preferences, personalize advertising, and much else. Automating such tasks lies beyond not only the capabilities of humans, but also the traditional procedural logic and programming. Most important, AI has enabled humans and machines to complement each other, transforming mechanistic processes into highly adaptive, organic, and human-centered activities. And, contrary to automation doomsayers, such collaboration is opening up an array of new, high-value jobs. No wonder, then, that adoption of AI is rapidly accelerating throughout industries around the globe. According to a 2019 survey, companies plan to double AI projects in 2020 and by 2022 to have an average of 35 AI or machine learning projects in place. What's driving this acceleration in adoption? More AI models are being put into production. Specialized hardware is increasing AI's capacity to provide quicker results based on larger datasets. Simplified and smaller tools are enabling AI to work on nearly any device. The cloud is allowing access to AI resources from anywhere and the ability to scale up and scale down as business needs evolve. Rapid adoption is also being driven by the need to integrate data from many sources, by complex business and computer logic challenges, and by competitive incentives to make data more useful. And, of course, there was the great acceleration driven by the pandemic. Our firm's recent research shows that more than 3/4 of major companies currently have deep learning initiatives underway. Deep learning is a powerful subset of machine learning. It works through neural networks consisting of simple neuron-like processing units that collectively perform complex computations. AI based on deep learning must be trained from the bottom up on massive amounts of data and, often, fine-tuned with additional data. But this data-hungry approach is beginning to run into significant challenges of capacity, affordability, and sustainability, as we will see in the next chapter. Meanwhile, on the frontiers of research, the nature of machine intelligence is taking a radically human turn, becoming less artificial and more intelligent. Less like an autonomous vehicle that has to be laboriously taught everything, and more like the human infant who comes equipped with a remarkably efficient capacity to learn. These developments should give pause to senior leaders contemplating how to allocate their technology spending over the coming 3 to 5 years. On the one hand, the challenges facing deep learning are formidable and, for many organizations, insuperable. On the other hand, deep learning has provided so many insights and valuable outcomes, it won't vanish anytime soon. As the plans of companies in our survey attest, these technologies are no longer optional. They're required. At the same time, however, the quest for more human-like AI, after lying dormant for decades, has taken on new life, impelled by the limits that current approaches to intelligence are now running up against. For senior leaders, navigating this dilemma begins with an understanding of those limits. The Trouble with Intelligence. MIT Technology Review analyzed 25 years of AI research, encompassing 6,625 scholarly papers, and concluded that deep learning could be nearing the end of its explosive 10-year dominance. Deep learning won't disappear. It will remain a powerful tool for certain narrowly defined problems. And it will be an important element in some of the wide range of complicated techniques that will tip the balance in machine intelligence in favor of the human over the artificial. But the notion that deep learning, if only given enough time and fed enough data, will get us to general AI looks increasingly unlikely. Many AI systems aren't all that smart. For starters, deep learning systems are often stumped in ways that can't be explained. Consider AI image recognition. It was one of the great AI success stories of recent years. But since 2017, it has seen little progress. ImageNet, maintained at Stanford University, is an open-source collection of more than 14 million hand-labeled images in more than 20,000 categories. It has been used to train many familiar AI image identification applications, such as Microsoft's Bing. But researchers have collected some 7,500 real-world photos that confuse state-of-the-art computer vision systems. For instance, a picture of a young man running was absurdly identified as a unicycle. When fed these images, the system's accuracy drops from over 95% to as low as 2%. That means that some of the most powerful computer vision systems in the world will correctly identify these images in only 2 of 100 attempts. And when what's at stake is not simply correctly classifying an image, but genuinely recognizing an object, as with self-driving cars or delivery drones, failures could have fatal consequences. Complex systems suffer from the black box problem. AI systems are often used to help make highly consequential decisions. Who gets approved for a loan? Who gets hired? Who wins parole? How long a prison sentence someone gets? Why a driverless vehicle makes a critical maneuver? Where and how a company's ads are distributed on social media? And more. But many of these systems, especially those that employ deep learning, are opaque. It's impossible to explain how their algorithms, working with enormous numbers of parameters and many intricately interconnected layers of abstraction, reach their conclusions. And those conclusions can sometimes be disastrous, resulting in racial discrimination in loans and criminal justice, vehicles that tragically crash, or respected brands whose ads on social media show up next to neo-Nazi content or conspiracy theories. The drive to make AI explainable, enshrined in law in the European Union's General Data Protection Regulation, demands the question be asked, explainable to whom? Different stakeholders seek different kinds of explanations. The problem arises even with a relatively simple loan risk assessment system. Software developers and system administrators want an explanation in terms of architecture and processing parameters. A seasoned loan officer who makes the final decision might want to know how various factors have been weighted in the system's recommendation. An applicant who has been denied a loan wants to know precisely why. Is it my age, my race, my zip code, an inaccurate credit history? A regulator wants to be assured that the system doesn't compromise data privacy, violate anti-discrimination laws, or leave itself open to financial fraud. A layperson, contemplating the black box problem generally, might want to know why anyone would build a machine they don't understand. Deep learning systems can't read. We can compile all the books in the world in a massive searchable database, as in Google Books, and devise machine reading programs that can extract all kinds of correlations. But no existing AI can read with even the rudimentary comprehension of a young child. Researchers Gary Marcus and Ernest Davis asked Google's Talk to Books tool this simple question: where did Harry Potter meet Hermione Granger? None of the 20 answers the tool returned came from Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, and none addressed the question of where the meeting took place. Smartphones may be relatively good at correcting writing mistakes or predicting the next word in a sentence. Translation programs render serviceable translations among many languages. But none of those applications, or any others, brings the background knowledge, sense of context, and countless assumptions about reality required to read with genuine comprehension. They lack fundamental knowledge frameworks. Those frameworks include concepts like space, time, and causation that humans, like the pencil-retrieving infant, acquire without apparent effort. Take causation, an essential component of common sense. Much of the success of deep learning has been driven by a powerful ability to find correlations, such as that between a constellation of symptoms and a particular disease. But, as we should all know by now, correlation is not causation. If machines understood that one thing causes another, then they wouldn't need to be retrained for each new task. Instead, they could apply what they know in one domain to a different domain. The future of radically human intelligence. Despite advances in cognitive psychology and neuroscience, we don't really know exactly how the human brain does the amazing things it does with its very limited computational resources. But at a high level, we do know what some of the basic building blocks of human intelligence are, and pioneers are beginning to create machine versions of them. The authors of Building Machines That Learn and Think Like Humans, a seminal piece on this new direction in machine intelligence, put it, "As long as natural intelligence remains the best example of intelligence, we believe that the project of reverse engineering the human solutions to difficult computational problems will continue to inform and advance AI." The question for senior leaders is, which more human-like cognitive abilities, detailed next, might be most relevant to capturing value for their businesses and delivering value to their customers? Generalizing in real-world settings. While theoretical arguments rage over deep learning versus some ideal version of artificial general intelligence as the means of getting to more human-like intelligence, practitioners aren't waiting. They're drawing on all the disciplines of AI to open up new possibilities for machine capabilities and performance. Consider the coming generations of logistics and warehouse robots, a technology that can have an enormous impact on the operations and bottom lines of companies in many industries. For instance, in highly automated product fulfillment centers with miles of warehouse shelves, robots do a lot of the heavy lifting and initial steps in product picking. But faced with hundreds of thousands of SKUs that change often, automated picking systems must be designed either to pick a specified category of items, or they must be trained on every item they might need to pick. That means that when new items are added to inventory, they must be hand-coded into the system, which is highly impractical at an industrial scale. That's why humans are, in many ways, superior to the current generation of dumb robot pickers. Humans don't need to be constantly retrained on each new SKU. They can generalize from their experience, easily distinguish one object from another, and quickly figure out the best way to handle something without damaging it. But fulfillment centers aiming for same-day or even same-hour delivery suffer from high employee turnover and limits on the volume and velocity of work that is humanly possible. At Obeda, a German electronics wholesaler whose warehouse is run by Austrian warehouse logistics company Knaap AG, a new generation of smarter robot pickers is changing the game. Equipped with AI from Covariant, a startup founded by robotics researchers from the University of California at Berkeley and research lab OpenAI, the robots are taught general abilities. Those abilities include 3D perception, physical affordances of objects, real-time motion planning, and few-shot learning, mastering a task after only a few training examples. These general abilities enable them to quickly learn to manipulate objects without being told what to do. Their job is to pick items from bulk storage bins and add them to individual orders to be shipped. A visitor to Covariant's headquarters described the technology in action. "I watched three different robots masterfully pick up all manner of store-bought items. In seconds, the algorithm analyzes their positions, calculates the attack angle and correct sequence of motions, and extends the arm to grab on with a suction cup. It moves with certainty and precision, and changes its speed depending on the delicateness of the item. The robots employ an off-the-shelf industrial arm, a suction cup gripper, and a vision system. The vision system is coupled to the gripper by Covariant Brain, a hardware-agnostic software platform. It is intended to be a universal AI for robots in any customer environment, a single neural network that can adapt to many different environments. Our system generalizes to items it's never seen before. Being able to look at a scene and understand how to interact with individual items in a tote, including items it's never seen before, humans can do this, and that's essentially generalized intelligence," says Peter Abiel, one of the company's founders. "This generalized understanding of what's in a bin is really key to success. That's the difference between a traditional system where you would catalog everything ahead of time and try to recognize everything in the catalog versus fast-moving warehouses where you have many SKUs and they're always changing." To say the system is a hybrid hardly does justice to all of the techniques that have been brought to bear to endow it with the ability to generalize. Covariant uses a wide range of such techniques, including imitation learning and reinforcement learning. For instance, to train the robot on a new set of items, they put new objects in front of it and see if it can successfully adapt to them. When it fails, it can update its understanding of what it's seeing and try some different approaches. And when it succeeds, it can get a reward signal to reinforce learning. When a set of SKUs differs totally from other sets, then Covariant has to revert to supervised learning, collecting and labeling a lot of new training data, as happens with deep learning systems. To succeed in a commercial environment, the robots must perform to a very high standard. Previously, Knopf's robot pickers reliably handled only about 15% of objects. The Covariant-powered robots now reliably handled about 95% of objects, and they're faster than humans, picking about 600 objects an hour versus 450 for humans. Nevertheless, no staff have been laid off at the O-Beta facility. Instead, says Peter Puchwein, vice president of innovation at Knopf, they have been retrained to understand more about robotics and computers. Meanwhile, Covariant is looking to build out its brain to power robots in manufacturing, agriculture, hospitality, commercial kitchens, and eventually, people's homes. Survival of the fittest algorithm. For e-commerce sellers like Zappos, irrelevant search results are a perennial headache. Because queries can have multiple different meanings to a website's search engine, getting accurate search results among the enormous inventory can be difficult. Potential customers who enter search terms for a particular style of dress shoe, but are shown dresses instead, will soon get fed up and move on to competitors. To solve the problem, Zappos is pitting algorithms against each other in a digital game of Survivor. These so-called genetic algorithms are essentially randomized search algorithms that imitate the mechanics of natural selection, a process of stumbling upon useful results and then moving toward optimization of delivery routes, for example, or designing lightweight yet sturdy structures. First introduced in 1960 by John Holland, a polymath in psychology, electrical engineering, and computer science, genetic algorithms have only recently become useful because of their computing power requirements. Zappos began experimenting with genetic algorithms in 2017. At the time, the company's website encountered about 1 million unique search terms each month. The search engine had to match those terms with the more than 100,000 items in the company's product catalog. Borrowing a page from Darwin, genetic algorithms simulate the process of natural selection. The Zappos system, for example, produces algorithms that work out the intent of a search phrase. One algorithm might see the word dress as a strong signal for retrieving dresses. A competing algorithm pays more attention to other words in the phrase. A relevance test, which simulates how users behave, rewards the winning algorithm by passing on its traits to the next generation of algorithms. The best performing algorithm goes live on the website until it is superseded by a fitter one, continually improving the performance of the search engine. After less than a year of using the genetic algorithm technology, the company found that customers were shopping faster, were applying fewer filters, and didn't need multiple searches to find what they were looking for. And, says Amin Kazaruni, lead data scientist at Zappos, at the end of the day, it's not a recurring expense. Once it's working, it's working. Making better bets. Humans routinely and often effortlessly sort through probabilities and act on the likeliest, even with relatively little prior experience. Machines are now being taught to mimic such reasoning through the application of Gaussian processes, probabilistic models that can deal with extensive uncertainty, act on sparse data, and learn from experience. Almost a decade ago, Alphabet, Google's parent company, launched Project Loon, designed to provide internet service to underserved regions of the world through a system of giant balloons hovering in the stratosphere. Their navigational systems employed Gaussian processes to predict where in the stratified and highly variable winds aloft the balloons needed to go. Each balloon then moved into a layer of wind blowing in the right direction, arranging themselves to form one large communication network. The balloons could not only make reasonably accurate predictions by analyzing past flight data, but also analyze data during a flight and adjust their predictions accordingly. Although Alphabet ended the experiment in early 2021, such Gaussian processes hold great promise. Using AI startup SecondMind's decision engine, powered by Gaussian process-based probabilistic modeling, Japanese carmaker Mazda was able to improve engine calibration while using 1,000 times less data compared with current tools. Some experts believe the small data powers of Gaussian processes could hasten autonomous AI. To build a truly autonomous agent, it has to be able to adapt to its environment very quickly, says Vishal Chatrath, CEO of AI startup SecondMind. That means being able to learn in a data-efficient way. Gaussian processes don't require massive amounts of data in order to recognize patterns. The computations required for inference and learning are relatively easy, and if something goes wrong, its cause can be traced, unlike the black boxes of neural networks. Closing in on causation. AI is good at spotting correlations and making valuable predictions based on them. For instance, GNS Healthcare, a Cambridge, Massachusetts precision medicine company, uses causal algorithms to help some of the world's largest pharmaceutical companies understand not only which patients respond to what drugs, but why. Using Bayesian techniques, their software platform translates data into causal models. These techniques identify which variables in a dataset appear to have the most influence on other variables, with the aim of better targeting research, designing more incisive drug trials, speeding up regulatory approval, and better predicting patient risk. In one study, GNS, along with the Alliance for Clinical Trials in Oncology, set out to identify the clinical predictors for a subpopulation of patients with metastatic colorectal cancer, mCRC. It is one of the most common cancers in the United States, with an estimated 140,000 new cases diagnosed each year. The study used the company's causal AI platform to analyze clinical data from more than 2,000 patients with mCRC. The researchers wanted to uncover predictive biomarkers for patient response to different drug treatments for the disease and predictors of overall survival among some patient subpopulations. We have never been in a better position to unravel drivers of disease and patient response to specific drugs, says Colin Hill, GNS chairman, CEO, and co-founder. We built an in silico patient model of colorectal cancer and were able to uncover biomarkers that tell us which patients will respond to which treatment, and most importantly, why. This is what will get us to the point of delivering personalized medicine and eradicating disease. Taking on time and space. Some 720,000 hours of video are uploaded to YouTube each day, video that must be processed for ad rankings and recommendations. In hospitals, terabytes of sensitive videos must be used on local devices to protect privacy. In smart cities, closed-circuit cameras generate reams of video that must sometimes be quickly analyzed to avert imminent danger from potentially violent or criminal activity. All of these tasks require accurate and efficient understanding of what is taking place in any given video. But video recognition, unlike simple image recognition, requires temporal modeling, the ability to understand and predict sequences of actions. Like other AI based on deep learning, video applications have typically required vast and expensive computing power, and they're unavailable in settings that lack sufficient resources and technology. Recently, however, researchers at the MIT-IBM Watson AI Lab have developed a new technique for training video recognition systems that is both highly accurate and saves on computation costs. The researchers were able to train video recognition models 3 times faster than existing state-of-the-art techniques. Instead of breaking up videos into individual frames and then running recognition algorithms on each frame, the technique extracts sketches of objects in each frame and overlays the sketches to see how the objects shift in space. The increased speed could be critical for the ability of autonomous vehicles to recognize and react to visual information and to predict what is likely to take place around them. Further, the model can run on low-power devices like phones. For instance, with a small computer and camera running only on enough energy to power a bicycle light, the model was able to quickly classify hand gestures. This technique could help reduce the computation cost of video recognition and shrink its carbon footprint. Because of its hardware efficiency, it could also help put compact diagnostic devices in the hands of physicians and nurses at primary sites of care. Calling on Common Sense. A variety of organizations are working to teach machines to navigate the world using common sense, to understand everyday objects and actions, communicate naturally, handle unforeseen situations, and learn from experiences. But what comes naturally to humans, without explicit training or data, is fiendishly difficult for machines. Says Oren Etzioni, the CEO of the Allen Institute for Artificial Intelligence, AI2, no AI system currently deployed can reliably answer a broad range of simple questions, such as, if I put my socks in a drawer, will they still be in there tomorrow? Or, how can you tell if a milk carton is full? To help define what it means for machines to have common sense, AI2 is developing a portfolio of tasks against which progress can be measured. The Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, is investing $2 billion in AI research. In its Machine Common Sense, MCS, program, researchers will create models that mimic core domains of human cognition, including the domains of objects, intuitive physics, places, spatial navigation, and agents, intentional actors. Researchers at Microsoft and McGill University have jointly developed a system that has shown great promise for untangling ambiguities in natural language, a problem that requires diverse forms of inference and knowledge. The millions upon millions of unstated assumptions and rules about how reality works that constitute common sense could almost be said to be human intelligence. In the early days of AI, researchers attempted to codify all these rules in the manner of symbolic logic, creating a knowledge base from which a system could draw inferences. These symbolist efforts foundered on the near impossibility of cataloging the untold number of such rules, and their many exceptions, qualifications, and contexts, and devising algorithms that could navigate them. Proponents of deep learning took a different tack. They designed neural networks with interconnected layers that could discern patterns without having them embedded in advance by programmers. As we've seen, their record has been mixed, impressively guiding autonomous vehicles and hilariously failing basic tests of common sense reasoning. But there are signs that symbolist approaches may be converging with neural network approaches in hybrid systems that produce results that more closely resemble the outputs of human common sense. With such systems, the goal is to produce both the right answer and the rationale for that answer. Consider chatbots and voice digital assistants, which often leave users frustrated. The applications can be easily stumped, and most importantly, even when they do come up with an answer, they can't provide a common sense explanation for it. Cloud services and CRM powerhouse Salesforce is working to change that with its Einstein voice assistant. The company's research is moving toward imbuing neural networks with the capacity to give not only correct answers, but to provide plausible explanations for those answers as well. Enterprise voice assistants are rare in general. Thus, Einstein gives the company a great advantage in customer experience and engagement. In addition to conferring advantages on organizations whose voice assistant can explain its answers, advances in AI common sense have obvious relevance in sectors where explainability is critical: healthcare, finance, security, and government. Common sense reasoning could also help overcome some of the limitations of visual recognition systems, supplying, for example, the common knowledge that hitting a traffic cone is far less consequential than hitting a pedestrian. Common sense is a critical component to building AIs that can understand what they read, that can control robots that can operate usefully and safely in the human environment, that can interact with human users in reasonable ways, says Gary Marcus, a leading AI expert and founder of Robust AI. Common sense is not just the hardest problem for AI. In the long run, it's also the most important problem. Tracking emotions. In 2018 alone, distracted driving claimed 2,841 lives in the United States. The dead included 1,730 drivers, 605 passengers, 400 pedestrians, and 77 bicyclists. Any activity that diverts attention from driving counts as a distraction. Texting, talking on a phone, eating and drinking, conversing with passengers, and fiddling with the sound or navigation system. Texting is particularly dangerous. At 55 miles per hour, taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds to read a text is like driving the length of an entire football field with your eyes closed. Falling asleep at the wheel is even deadlier. Up to 6,000 fatal crashes each year may be caused by drowsy drivers. Road rage is another major cause of accidents. Some 94% of all traffic accidents are caused by driver error, and one-third of those accidents could be linked to behavior characterized as road rage. Those figures could drop dramatically if an AI system designed to read the emotions of drivers becomes as ubiquitous in automobiles as seatbelts. Such a system is currently being created by Affectiva, a Boston startup founded in 2009 by researchers from MIT's famed Media Lab and acquired in mid-2021 by Swedish company SmartEye. Affectiva's algorithms read people's faces to detect their emotional and other cognitive states. It could help keep drivers calm, attentive, and awake by automatically providing appropriate interventions, alerts, or suggested actions. But it's an enormously complex challenge. Cognitive states like drowsiness come on gradually. Facial manifestations of emotions can differ by age, gender, ethnicity, and culture. The company has also developed an emotions tracking system that enables media and advertisers to test responses to their programming and video ads with target audiences. The system is based on the analysis of more than 7.6 million faces in 87 countries. About one-fourth of the Fortune Global 500 have used the technology to test their ads around the world and help them predict purchase intent, sales lift, or the likelihood of content to go viral. Affective computing, or emotional AI, as it is known, was used early on in work with autistic children to help them understand and express their emotions. Its originators, says Gabi Zeiderveld, formerly with Affectiva and now with SmartEye, were driven by the idea that technology could have the ability to understand and respond to human emotions, to basically improve human interactions with technology, to make them more relevant, more appropriate, but also maybe to help humans get a better grasp or better control over emotions. Rana El Kalyubi, the founder of Affectiva and now deputy CEO of SmartEye, knows a thing or two about overwhelming emotions. In 1990, when she was a child growing up in the Middle East, Iraq invaded Kuwait, her native country. "Overnight, our world changed," she writes. "My parents lost their jobs, their home, their savings. In the aftermath, I felt a flood of emotions unlike anything I'd ever experienced." The profound psychological dislocations wrought by COVID-19 set her thinking about how an emotion-enabled digital world might help. The massive moves to online learning, virtual meetings, and telehealth, and the isolation brought on by social distancing eliminated essential elements of human connection that we take for granted in face-to-face contact. Employees suffered Zoom fatigue. Professors and corporate presenters alike had no way of knowing how their audiences were really responding. Physicians and psychologists, seeing patients virtually, had difficulty assessing moods and general sense of well-being. So did people connecting with aging parents, particularly vulnerable to the virus. Emotion tracking software might restore at least some of the human connection we lose in such encounters and help monitor and promote mental health. As L. Kalyubi writes, "Our reliance on technology to connect with the world will only grow stronger. Arming technology with artificial emotional intelligence might be the only way to preserve the things that make us human in the first place: empathy, emotion, and meaningful connection." Giving machines a theory of mind. The child who retrieves the pencil when you drop it accidentally and ignores it when you throw it down on purpose is said to have a theory of mind. They understand that others have emotions, intentions, desires, and knowledge, and they draw on that understanding to analyze and respond to others' behavior. A theory of mind is crucial for the innumerable everyday interactions we take for granted. It is also crucial for robots working with other robots and around humans. For instance, a caregiving robot must be able to understand the emotions and desires of someone who may have limited ability to express them. Attempts to imbue robots with a theory of mind are proceeding along several tracks, all of which are attempting to overcome the limitations of deep learning. Deep learning's bottom-up approach to intelligence is based on a thoroughgoing empiricism, the aim of which is pattern recognition. For instance, when a deep learning visual recognition system sees something, the item is processed through the neural network's vast amount of training data to find patterns of ever-increasing complexity until the system arrives at a conclusion about what the item is. As we've noted, the limitations of this approach are its voracious appetite for data and its lack of explainability. Researchers at Google's DeepMind are trying to overcome these limitations while still employing neural networks with what they call a machine theory of mind. Their theory of mind neural network, TomNet, uses meta-learning to build models of the external agents it encounters from observations of their behavior alone. Through relatively few observations, TomNet acquires a strong prior model of agents' behavior and the ability to bootstrap to richer predictions about the agents' characteristics and mental states. Like other deep learning systems, it improves with experience. DeepMind's AI entities were simple agents in a virtual room where they collected colored boxes for points, while TomNet watched. One of the agents was blind, one couldn't remember its recent steps, and one could both see and remember. The blind agents tended to follow along walls. The agents with faulty memories went for objects that were closest, and the agent that could see and remember strategically collected boxes in a specific order to earn more points. With some training, TomNet was able to identify each type of agent quickly and correctly predict its future behavior. These simple experiments are heavily dependent on a tightly bound context. They are confined to interactions with very simple agents, and TomNet's rudimentary abilities are a far cry from the capacity of humans to fathom other minds. But the direction of such work, even though it involves neural networks, is in keeping with the turn in intelligence toward more top-down, less data-hungry approaches. Another top-down approach assumes that the mind makes mental models of the world against which even very sparse data can be tested. Instead of learning to model other agents, the AI is equipped with simulations against which it can test hypotheses and predict what other dynamic agents in its vicinity might do. Researchers at the University of West England have explored the potential of a mobile robot containing a simulation of itself, other dynamic agents, and its environment. Operating in real time, the simulation-based internal model is able to look ahead and predict the consequences of its actions and those of other actors in its vicinity. For example, when navigating down a narrow corridor with an oncoming robot, the AI could simulate turning left, right, or continuing its path and determine which action will most likely avoid collision. Robots have certainly succeeded at such maneuvers without simulations, but the advance here is to prove that such simulations provide a path toward an artificial theory of mind. Getting smart about intelligence. Like objects in an auto's side mirror, these more natural cognitive and emotional abilities may be closer than they appear. As we have seen, they are being developed and refined at research organizations like AI2, specialist companies like Covariant and Affectiva SmartEye, and established enterprises like Zappos, Salesforce, Google, and many others. This technology is here now, gaining momentum daily, and helping lay the groundwork for future competition. Along the key dimension of trust, more human-like intelligence will win loyal customers and further separate leaders from laggards. Radically human-machine intelligence will also take us from a past in which tech was imposed on customers and employees who struggled to learn how to use it and adapt to it, to a future in which people eagerly adopt it because it adapts to them. As that future draws closer, companies will need to ramp down older, more costly, and cumbersome approaches to machine intelligence and ramp up more human-centered approaches. While there is no precise formula for this transition, there are some steps leaders can take now to prepare, starting with leadership and moving outward from tech specialists to encompass the entire organization and engage with the company's wider ecosystem. It starts with leadership, with the CEO and the C-suite. They need to make sure they have AI teams that are learning and experimenting with the emerging approaches to intelligence we have been describing here, linked to the business. These teams should focus on algorithms that more closely mimic human cognitive abilities and that produce explainable results and offer more affordable and innovative solutions to business challenges. In the wider organization, the aim should be to propagate what we call digital fluency. We explore it in depth in Chapter 6 on talent, but in brief, the idea is to move from digital literacy, mere familiarity with the terms of AI and the like, to immersion in the language, techniques, and application of intelligent technologies. Digitally fluent employees, especially those closest to customers or internal challenges, are able to deliver solutions at the point of need. Beyond the four walls of the company, you need to tap into the wider world of technology partners, researchers, and industry players, all of whom can help you move faster in assembling the elements of new approaches to intelligence that are most relevant to your business. This is also a crucial first step toward the coordinated strategic ecosystem partnerships that increasingly characterize competition in a world where no one has a monopoly on the vast number of technological breakthroughs occurring almost daily. In part, the radically human turn in intelligence, which will have such profound consequences for your company's processes, products, and services, will be enabled by a turn to less data-hungry AI, complementing well-established approaches to big data and potentially leveling the playing field for all competitors, the subject to which we turn in the next chapter.